Well, it's July 13th, and we just had 4th of July. And do you know what we did for 4th of July? I don't even remember. Wasn't that much. But in 4th of July 1776, some of our founders penned and put together what is called the Declaration of Independence. Good. Y'all, don't let history go, okay? Don't let history go. Make sure you know it. And pull up that slide, if you will, and I want to read just part of the Declaration of Independence. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life," come on, "liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And I want to leverage that today. It has a number of approaches there, but I want to talk about and begin a series today called The Pursuit of Happiness. Everybody wants to be happy. I hope you're happy today. But we're going to learn a lot about happiness today. Everyone wants to be happy. Without exception, human beings are always in the pursuit of happiness. Without exception. Your core motivation in virtually everything that you do and everything you decide has to do with happiness. It's kind of wired in you, but we've got to learn to get it wired right, that everything you're doing, don't do, decide, plan on, throw a fit about, all those things have to do with your measure of, I want to be happy. You know, you get mad at people because they messed up with your happiness. And then you don't let them go because you're very happy to stay unhappy about it. You know, and I want to do this, I want to go there, I want to get this. We go through all of these things because the core motivator in our lives, if we don't check this, is happiness, that we want happiness. Now, happiness is not bad. God is happy. Did you know that? Religion kind of paints him out and frames him as he's this angry, just mean, old, pasty, dusty judge. And you need to know, and we'll see it in Scripture, God is happy. God is happy. Now, God's not happy about everything, okay? But God is happy. And we need to learn from that as well, that no, everything wouldn't make us happy. We can still remain a happy person. Happiness is a central biblical theme. God's intended state for us is happiness. The Bible begins and ends in a garden. God restores as part of what he does to help, you know, where happiness, I know, I'm not happy. right there. God's intended state for us is to be happy. I believe the summation, and we teach this around here, kind of the summation description of what happens as you grow and mature in the Lord, is you become more and more, help me with this if you know it, we become more and more happy, stable, fruitful, blessed, so we can be a blessing and bring glory to God. But the beginning grounds of that are happy and how you go around this whole idea of happy. You want to be happy. You do. You do. And like I said, it drives you all the time. And I pray that you and I will become more and more aware of how we're letting that drive us in what we do, what we don't do, our decisions, and so forth. Did you know what else? Others need you to be happy. Others need you to be happy. How many of you like it when the people around you are happy? Well, I do. And some of you are not, and it's making me unhappy. So, no, we are way more codependent than we're willing to admit. You know, that how others are doing impacts our mood or so forth. And we've got to get where we're freed up in that, and it's like, okay, they're having a rough day, but I'm gonna remain happy. Now, happiness does not mean that you don't have a rough day, but I like to put it this way. Sometimes you arrive on a situation or a situation arrives to you, and you say, well, this isn't making me happy, but I'm happy. You know, this doesn't bless me, but I'm blessed. And we're able to separate out our condition from our circumstances. So are we happy? Are we happy? And like I said, others need you to be happy. Did you know that probably one of the greatest advertisement for the true living God and for his kingdom is would be there be some genuinely happy Christians. You know, so often I think our perception of Christians is they're angry, they're judgmental, they're wound up, and they're, you know, and the other walk around, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah, but you're scaring all the rest of us, you know. And I think for people to just see that there's some, not put on, but just some genuine peace and joy and happiness, you know, in the lives of believers. So happiness really, really does matter. So how do we get there? How do we get there? Because it was, as we look, and I looked at a number of studies, our culture right now is more anxious than it's ever been. Addiction rates are higher than they've ever been. In general, there are different drugs and addictions a long time that have had, you know, escalated real high levels. But overall, the rate of people being addicted to something. People are empty, they're exhausted, they're angry, they're irritable, they're self-destructive, they're unmotivated, they're depressed, they fight about everything. Have you noticed just in the news, people fighting over a parking spot? Fighting on airplanes. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. People are driving so aggressive. And I noticed that more and more, just aggressive driving. You cannot act that way in a grocery store. You try acting that way with your card in the grocery store, and some little granny's going to hit you with her elbow, right? Just under your eye. You know, she's going to get you. But people, it's like it doesn't even make sense. They're just zooming right up on people. There's nowhere to go. And I wonder, what's going on? What's going on in you? And if that's y'all, stop it. Okay? But what's going on that we're just so wound up that way? And people are not genuinely happy, yet the drive within them is, I want to be happy, I want to be happy. And we chase that down in a number of ways. Well, part of the problem is this. Happiness is wrongly defined. As a result of that, then happiness is wrongly understood. And because of those two things, then happiness is wrongly pursued. So I'll go over that again. It's true of most things, that if it's wrongly defined, then it's going to be wrongly understood, and it will be wrongly pursued. So definitions matter. Come on, y'all. Definitions matter. They matter. And pay attention to that in our culture, because there's aspects of our culture that are desperately trying to redefine everything. Redefine what a mother is. Redefine what a marriage is. Trying to redefine everything. And you have to be very careful with that, because again, if things are wrongly defined, they are wrongly understood. And then chaos and confusion comes into any setting, any arrangement. And so definitions matter. Are y'all with me? All right. I've waited a long time to talk to y'all, so y'all stay with me here. Speaking of definitions that matter, also on the 4th of July, and we just had this, you know, like a week or so ago, Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs, bring up that picture if you will, Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs Hot Dog Eating Contest. How many of you like hot dogs? All right, but not that many. Not that many. So they hold it at Coney Island every year. I don't know how many years they've been doing that now. So a guy named Joey Chestnut won for a 17th time. He didn't set a record this year, but he ate, you ready, 70 1/2 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Now, don't tell me the dude likes hot dogs. He's doing it for the money and for the show, all right? I doubt today he's eating hot dogs, okay? A week later. Now, there was a lady, the women competitor that won. Her name was Miki Sudo. She ate 33 of those. Now, here's what got my attention, though. There's a lady named Madison Baroni. She was one of the competitors. She ate nine. Now, you'll say, well, that's nothing. No, if we had a contest today here, she would win, okay? Just nine. But she got disqualified. She got disqualified. And so I was paying attention to this. It just caught my eye here. And remember, definitions matter. Here's why she got disqualified. Here's the definition they gave for why she got disqualified. Because, here it is, verbatim, she displayed urges contrary to swallowing. Did you understand that? She displayed urges contrary to swallowing. If you need someone to explain that to you, do it on the way home, all right? I just so intriguing, and I thought, I got to share that with you. But my point is this. Definitions matter. So we come back to happiness. What is happiness? And you cannot define happiness in just one word. And you can't define happiness just in a feeling, in just one feeling. We know what a happy feeling is. We know some words that have to do with that. But let's think about it just for a moment here. Happiness in the scripture, if you do a lexical study into the words, there are 22 Old Testament Hebrew words that kind of describe happiness. In the New Testament Greek, there are 15 words, and they're all kind of designed to interact together where, you know, yeah, that's happy, yeah, that's happy. It's like if we took some English words and said, hey, I had a bright, carefree, beautiful, breezy morning. So all those things come together and kind of paint a picture, give you a feeling, give you a flavor of what that day was like. So in the Bible, we have a lot of different words: glad, happy, joyful, blessed, content, satisfied, and so forth. And so we sort of get the idea. I think you in general know what happiness is. So as we're in this series on the pursuit of happiness, let me just say this, that the pursuit of happiness, and this series is going to be loaded. Everybody say loaded. It's going to be loaded, and it's going to be life-changing. And I know we say that so often in church. This will be life-changing if you'll grab a hold of this. And this is just absolutely vital to clarity and direction and fruitfulness of your life, that we understand and that we pursue happiness in the right way. But let me say this to you. The pursuit of happiness is first of all spiritual. Everybody say spiritual. It's first of all spiritual. Secondly, it is practical. Say practical. And there's so many things about, it's got to be a both and here. Because if we just relegate this over and say, well, happiness is spiritual, but if you're messing up some practical things, so they go together. And you're never going to find this true happiness if you only do practical things. It is first of all spiritual. It is also practical. And they go together on this. You know, you can be spiritual about something. Well, I need a job and I'm praying about a job. Yeah, well, you might ought to also go on some job interviews. You know, well, I'm really, really hungry, so I'm praying God will send food. How about you get up and go cook something? You know, and so there's a spiritual part of it. There's also a practical part of it, and certainly for the idea of happiness. Now, happiness is not the absence of problems. It's, how many of you know you're happy when you have no problems? How many of you know that's not going to last long? And so happiness is not the absence of problems. It's not the absence of sorrow. It's not the absence of pressure in your life. Otherwise, nobody on the planet could ever be happy. Because there's always going to be, in this lifetime, problems, sorrow, pressure, those kinds of things. Happiness does not come just by having life hacks. Oh, I found this little thing I can do and it makes me happier, so forth. Those may play a part in it, but that's not where happiness comes from. Nor does happiness come from substances that alter you. You know, there's some people that, well, I do this so that I feel happy, or I feel high, or I feel numb, or whatever. Can I tell you, that's never going to serve you. Listen to me, I love you, and that's never going to serve you. And when we become dependent upon substance to make us happy, you're not happy. You're not happy. And ultimately, it's going to leave you worse off than you ever were, because it's going to start to be your master, because you're going to be driven to have that happy feeling. So happiness does not come as just a good feeling. It's not about possessions. It's not about wealth. It's not about power. It's not about trips. It's not about how good looking you are, or you got this done, or you achieved this, or any of those other things. It has nothing to do with those. Happiness is not based on happenings. Happiness is not based on circumstances. Your circumstances are always changing, always changing. And so happiness is not for everything to be just right. And again, it's not on circumstances. You can put two people in the same circumstances and one of them will stay happy. And the other one, you know, it just ruined their day. There's a thing called a couplet. That's what poems are made of. And I found this one. It says, two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud. The other saw the stars. Did you hear that? Two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud. The other saw the stars. They're in the same circumstances. They're looking out from the same place, but something in them made the difference there. And we're going to get closer and closer to that as we go along today. So how can we be happy? How do we get this? We've got to go to the source of this to start with. So look with me, if you will, in Psalm 144. Are y'all here? You're just so quiet. You're just like. Psalm 144, verse 15. And this is our foundation verse for this whole series here. Happy, and we're going to memorize it, by the way. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. How many of you got it memorized already? It was like super easy. Let's read it together. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. One more time. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. It didn't say happy are the people who got all their bills paid. That might help the happiness quotient. Or happy are the people who got a good report at the doctor. Or happy are the people those neighbors of yours finally moved away. Or whatever it would be. Happy are the people, help me. So let's start there. The people whose God is the Lord are happy. You got it. And so the psalmist looks at this, and that word happy is also translated blessed. It literally means in the Old Testament Hebrew, oh, the happiness. So the psalmist observes, it starts with observation. The psalmist observes, he sees this happiness, and then he exclaims, it's observation, then it's exclamation, and he says, oh, the happiness of these people. What people? I want to be those people. I want to be those people. I want to be that person that people would just see that happiness and the peace and the gentleness in us. Not because we're putting on, not because we're trying to be, not putting on our church face, you know, not show off or anything else, but genuinely. And that's what the psalmist observed. Oh, the people, these people are genuinely happy. Who are these people? It's the people whose God is the Lord. Now, I've got and forgive me for saying this, I just found myself describing it this way, a one big, beautiful, run-on sentence that I want to share with you today. You ready? It'll be on the screen for you. Real happiness can only be found in a relationship with God. I'm not done. Through Jesus Christ, I'm not done. With the awareness of the Holy Spirit in your daily life. I'm done. All right, come on, everybody with me. Come on, let's be real intentional about this. Here it is, here it is, here it is, here it is. With me, come on. Real happiness can only be found in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, with the awareness of the Holy Spirit in your daily life. Come on, somebody say amen today. Amen. So let me give you a summation of that. You ready? The pursuit of happiness is the pursuit of God. And if we're going to have real happiness, listen to me, don't go after happiness. Go after God. And I'll probably say it 4 or 5 times today, but happiness, that's not the goal. Happiness is the byproduct. Happiness is the fruit. Stop going after happiness. It's driving you all over the place. It's making you do this and not do that. That's why you're scrolling, scrolling, scrolling. What are you looking for? Something to make me happy? Going through the channels, all the stuff that we try, all the stuff that we avoid, the decisions we make, The frantic efforts that we put out just to try to keep up with something, we exhaust ourselves, or we withdraw from it all. What is it about? I'm trying to be happy. I'm trying to not be unhappy. And I'm telling you, stop. Stop going after happiness. Go after God. Go after God, because real happiness can only come. It's the only place you're going to get it. You're going to get other little fake happiness stuff. And the Bible talks about that. That'll have a pleasure. That'll have a little thrill for a second. But then it's empty. It's empty. And I'll tell you what, the world and the devil are glad to just keep putting out bogus knockoffs in front of you all the time. Try this, do this, buy this, be this, look like this, and you too could be happy. Try our new crepe erase. Put it on your, I mean, there's so many commercials. I don't know why I picked that one. There's so many commercials for this or that, and we're such a commercialized culture that if you only get this, you only get that. And then you get this, and it's like, oh, those are out now. Now I got to get this. And it's just never enough, and now there's a new one. It's your phone. It's your car. It's just all kinds of stuff. Everything changing. And we're never going to get happiness. Stop going after happiness and go after God. Go after God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Elizabeth Elliot, she was a missionary. She was actually a daughter of missionaries, and she was a minister and a writer. Her writings are awesome. She's so quotable. I believe she's gone on to heaven now. This is one of my favorite quotes of hers. It says this: the secret is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. Read it with me. The secret is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. Psalm chapter 1, and let me scoot along here. Hadn't been here in a few weeks. I don't even know when the service ends, so we're just going to... I'm joking you. Psalm 1, blessed, it's the same word, happy. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like what? Remember that. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Notice this though. The ungodly? Not so. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. The ungodly? Not so. Now, in this series, like I said, we're going to do spiritual things and practical things. And this happy guy here, these first couple of verses, there's some do's and don'ts. There's some things that he's doing. There's some things that he's not doing that add to and preserve his happiness. We'll get into all those. But just real quick, today our whole focus is just on the source. The source. What are we pursuing so that we can actually have this happiness that is driving, our need for happiness is driving our life. What started out with blessed, it's the same word we looked at earlier. Oh, the happiness. It's observation. It's exclamation. And notice this, by the time we get to verse 3, we realize that not only is happiness possible, and you need to know that, but happiness also, this happy guy, he's likened unto a tree. So this guy that actually finds this happiness, he said he's like a tree. He's not a tree. This is imagery for us to help us understand. A related passage, Jeremiah chapter 17. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
All right, I got to keep you with me. Just a couple more minutes. It says, blessed, same word again. Happy is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a
tree.
There's another tree guy. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which, watch this, spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. That Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8, that's been the foundational passage for this church. In this next month, this church will be 36 years. And the whole time, that's been our foundation, because I think that's the goal, is that we become those people like a tree. It's always been part of our logo, the big stained glass that's out in the big hallway. Stop by and look at that as well, and it's kind of just the imagery of that. Now, here's the thing. This guy that they're saying is happy, They're also saying that he is like a tree. And so it strikes me that the idea of the tree in the Jeremiah passage especially brings it out. The tree is out in all of this weather. So you as a tree, everybody go ahead and say it, I'm a tree. All right. So you as a tree, figuratively, you're out in the weather. So that's the externals. That's the circumstances. So think about it for the tree. It's the heat. It's the sun, it's the cold, it's the drought, it's the rain, it's the wind, it's the storms, it's the lumberjack, it's the worms. You know, it's just all the stuff. And he's out there, but yet it says he's happy. And as we read, he continues to bear fruit. He's not afraid of the heat. He's not afraid of all of those things, because it speaks this to us. Happiness is not from what happens to you or doesn't happen to you. Happiness is not from what happens for you or doesn't happen for you. Happiness is from something, you ready for this? Happiness is from something in you. So the tree, it's all the stuff on the outside. That's all going to happen to all of us. Come on in, amen. That's going to happen to all the outside, but that's not where our happiness comes from. Because if we're looking for all the externals, and if we're looking for all the circumstances to be just right, you are never going to be happy. And you know people like this, and they're chasing things, or they're so daunted by the things on the outside. But happiness, true happiness, is going to come from something that is from the inside. It's something in you. It's something that's under you. It's something that's with you. It's something that you're connected to. And here, what do we see? What is it that this tree is connected to that keeps it going no matter what else is going on? It says it's planted. It says it's rooted. And get this, and it says that it sends out its roots into the river. Look at this picture real quick. So the tree, it has everything going on. What if drought comes? That's right. We'll send our roots deep down into the river, and we're able to draw that. Well, what is this river? What is this river? It's going to go back to my big run-on sentence there for you. Revelation 22 says that there's a river that flows from the throne of God, and it's full of life. It flows from the presence of God, and it's full of life. And it says it heals anything that gets in the river. Jesus said, if you believe on me, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. He was speaking of eternal life. Jesus considered the Holy Spirit as a well or spring springing up on the inside. I'm telling you, real happiness can only come from a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, with a daily awareness that the Holy Spirit is in my life. So if I'm going to be happy, if you're going to be happy, there's a lot of things that mess with that. And we've got to get used to this, that, hey, that may have happened. That doesn't make me happy, but I'm happy. And our happiness comes because we've sent those roots down into the river, and we're drawing that. Psalm 46:4 says, there is a river whose streams make glad or happy the city or the people of God. Let me just finish up with this. Happiness is not based on happenings. It's not based on circumstances. Happiness is not the goal. Happiness is the byproduct. And if you go after happiness, you're not really going to find happiness. Like I said earlier, there's a lot of cheap knockoffs, a lot of things given a false promise that this will make you happy. And let's be honest, folks, we've all done it the wrong way. All of us at some point or another, we've gone after something, done something, made a decision, whatever, and it doesn't help our lives. It hurts our lives. So stop going after happiness. Start going after God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and it'll be on the screen for you. It says, but help me. Come on, but what? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The context in the previous verses, Jesus is teaching, and he says, you know, people that don't have a connection with God, you know what they do? They're anxious and they're worried. And they go, I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and I don't want that, and why did this happen? And you know what all that's driven by? Happiness. If I don't have that, why am I worrying? Because if I don't have that, I won't be happy. I mean, it's this happiness drive that's in us. And Jesus said, you know what? Don't seek after all of that. He said, instead, first, everybody say first. And first, seek after God. Seek after God and his ways and all these things that you worry about, that you feel like I need that to make you happy. You know what? God will sort that out, and God will get into your life what needs to be added to your life. And I promise that you'll end up being happy in that way. Don't seek after happy. Seek after God. And the more concerned, listen, be less concerned about happy and more concerned about God. And the more concerned you are about God, more happy you're going to be. Let me remind you something. We all learned this today. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. The people who make God their Lord are happy. The pursuit of happiness really is just the pursuit of God. We're going to continue on in the weeks to come and show you some things of how all this fits together. And you know what? By golly, you're going to end up being more and more happy. But I want to do this today. First of all, how many of you got anything at all out of this today? Did you get anything? I pray so.